Jazz here, and I'm jiving to Transformation Animation.
Will these infernal setbacks never end?
The revolution begins now.
This episode of Transformation Animation Podcast features Mike Blanchard and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to episode 17 of Transformation Animation Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Steve Drew and Mike, and joining me is Pecan Corp. Michael, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going, and making his Transformation Animation Podcast debut is Spade of the Bolt Matrix. Hello.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I am doing well.
Yes, and the three of us, I mean, there are other friends that we have that love animated toys, but seeing as how this podcast was mainly myself, Michael, and Steve, Steve isn't into the animated toys, so I figured why not get, you know, someone else who really is. So, Michael, what have you been up to?
Lately, I've been playing Elder Scrolls V Skyrim.
Yeah.
A lot.
Everybody's been playing that game a lot.
Yeah, I have successfully replaced sleep with Skyrim. And it hasn't caught up to me yet, but I'm sure it will soon.
Oh, yeah, especially with the holidays coming up and eating all that turkey.
I'm going on 3 hours of sleep right now, so. Forgive me if I pull a Steve.
Wow.
Oh, oh my. Other than work, I have been up to Skyrim, Uncharted 3. I put Modern Warfare 3 in my console last night and then fell asleep on the couch. I have been trying to do some upgrading to my reviews, and I bought a bunch of equipment or a bunch of stuff, and it all came this week, and all of it was wrong, so I had to send just about all of it back, save one thing. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I ordered a green screen and some equipment and some other stuff, and it's like $200 worth of stuff. I had a crap ton of Amazon credits stored up, and yeah, when they say green screen, the darkest forest green does not make a good green screen.
No.
Wow. Oh, yeah. You have to have like a bright, sunny, happy green.
Yeah, and when you say it comes with software and it comes with like a stand for the green screen, do not send ripped software and PVC piping.
Oh, wow.
That got an Amazon call. That one went to Amazon's customer service saying, yeah, you know, the guys who are selling this are pretty much doing things illegal. You might want to look into that.
That's amazing. I can't believe that.
Wow. That's pretty bad. That's like almost eBay bad.
Yeah. But so yeah, I'm trying to get some reviews done. It just free time has been lacking. All free time has been Uncharted 3 and Skyrim.
Yeah, I can't get away from the Skyrim. It's supposed to be 300 hours of gameplay.
What's really bad is I go to play Skyrim and I want to throw a grenade and they aren't there.
Wrong button.
Wrong system.
It's like, why isn't the grenade throwing?
Yes. So a huge part of any cartoon franchise, for the most part, is toys, and that's what we are here to talk about today. Is the all of the released Transformers animated toys, from the Activators to the Bumbler Rattlers to the very rare, hard-to-find exclusives until they end up being, you know, shelf-warming for 6 months after the fact.
What are you talking about? That never happens.
Oh, please. I bet I can walk it. I bet 6 months ago I could walk into a Toys R Us and see 45 Ironhides and two RCs.
I was just in my Toys R Us today. They had an entire peg of Rodimus and Snarl.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
I've seen pegs of Rodimus. I haven't seen any RCs. Not since I bought two of them there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still hate you for that video.
I got one on my shelf.
Anyway, so where are we going to start, Mike?
We are going to start with the children's toys, or what Michael Wilson likes, which is the activators. There were, I believe, 7 waves of activators.
Yeah, there's a lot of activators.
A lot.
Yeah.
I'm actually going through my shelf right now and looking at all these and thinking, there are a lot. I forgot that there were this many repaints.
Yeah. You've got, in Wave 1 has Bulkhead, Bumblebee, and Starscream. Wave 2 has Lockdown, Optimus, Autobot, Ratchet. And then Wave 3 has Patrol, Bumblebee, and Thundercracker. Wave 4, Megatron, Grimlock, and Bandit Lockdown. Wave 5, Wave 5 has the very elusive Cliffjumper and Dirge. And then Wave 6 and Wave 7 have Fireblast, Grimlock, which he did come out, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Okay. No, it's the other one that didn't. Goldfire didn't come out.
Goldfire was the deluxe size,
well,
I think.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes. Soundwave, and then Wave 7 had Armor Up, Optimus, and Battlefield Bumblebee. I don't know. This one's pretty much all on Michael Wilson, because I honestly, when Target had that $5 sale of the Shockwave, the purple Shockwave with Bumblebee activator, I actually sent my activator to Malunas, because I hate the activators. They're too small for me.
No, I didn't have much of a problem with them. I had two of them. I have two of them. I have the Starscream, which was a gift from Hailstorm when she sent me Classics Hotshot, or Generations Hotshot. And I also had Autobot Ratchet, which I bought something at Target, but it wasn't like one of the special figures, and I somehow ended up with it. I don't know how I got that. I didn't, let me put it this way, I don't remember paying money for it.
So basically you put it in your cart and forgot about it and walked out of the store.
Entirely possible.
Okay, then. Yeah.
Not on purpose at all, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
See, now, I've been accused of theft, but never actually stolen anything, so.
No. You haven't been accused of theft. You've been accused of going in the back room and opening boxes when you weren't supposed to. That's what you've been accused of.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what? You've put on a red polo shirt and some khakis, and they'll let you back there.
I should really think about that, to go find those TF Prime figures.
Oh, yeah. Well, back when when these toys were coming out, I was really, really wanting them. I mean, there was, especially like these activators, the later waves were really hard to find. And I was really hunting for them. You know, and sometimes you have to take extreme measures to find the toys that you want. As a collector, right?
We're such desperate nerds.
It's sad. It really is. But that, I forget what he's called, but the Magma Grimlock?
The Goldfire, or not?
Not Goldfire.
Fireblast,
yeah. Now, he literally looks like he's just came out of a volcano, so it's like, you know, Magma Grimlock. But that was really hard to find. The Thundercracker was really hard to find. Dirge, I didn't think I'd ever find a Dirge. But, yeah, I'm pretty happy.
Now, the activators were on shelves for a good while, along with the bumper battlers, correct?
Yeah. Yes, they were.
Yeah. The bumper battler, I'm really surprised that anybody bought those. I mean, I bought them for my kids, and they loved them, and then I absorbed them into my collection when they got done playing with them.
You assimilated them.
Exactly. Your distinctiveness will be added to my own. The bumper battlers, I liked them, But, you know, by the time they started getting into repaints, the repaints were hard to find.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was an Optimus Prime repaint in Toxitron colors.
Oh, wow.
Purple and green. Yeah, and they called him, like, Nightwatch Optimus Prime or something, but I got him.
Oh, yeah, Nightwatch, yep.
Yeah, there was supposed to have been a repaint of Bulkhead, I think, and I couldn't find him. Couldn't find him anywhere. But, yeah, and I want to say that there was a edit point. Yeah, I'm blanking here. Soundwave. I want to say there was a Soundwave, and I didn't get him either. Couldn't find him. And it's like, you know, where are they showing up? Do they go directly to Big Lots or what?
Probably.
Well, it's sad because, you know, toward the end of this toy line, a lot of stuff either, you know, just disappeared or didn't get released or you know, ended up going straight to Big Lots or Dollar Store or something.
Yeah, everything pretty much goes to Big Lots after it's done. I mean, that's how, at the time when I was collecting Robot Heroes, that's how I found half the Robot Heroes I had. I just found them at Big Lots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I found a few at Big Lots, too, but I think for the most part it was one big eBay lot. Someone was just dumping all of them off.
Yeah. I mean, the activators and the bumper battlers, they're okay, but let's face it, they're pretty much for children.
Well, the bumper battlers are just horrible toys. They remind me of, like, Runabout and Runamuck from G1. You know, and the only reason anybody likes them is because they had a cool comic cover at one point. You know, they weren't even in the cartoon. So you've got it's basically a car, and the top of the car pops up, and there's a little robot under it, and it makes noise. It says something from the TV show. And they're cute, and like I said, I got them for my kids. But I really enjoy the activators. Yeah, I like the it's a very simple transformation. And it's all spring-loaded. So, I mean, literally, you push a button and he completely transforms all by himself. Except for, you know, like maybe the feet need to be bent.
Yeah,
bent out or something. They remind me a lot of the later G2 toys. So you have, like, the G2 Jets, mm-hmm. Space Case, and Terra Dive, and those. And they were all spring-loaded. And that aesthetic carried through to the early Beast Wars toys, the Scout size ones. Mm-hmm. So you've got, like, the original Rat Trap. Right? I mean,
and
he was spring loaded.
The Prime and Megatron 2-pack and Razor Beast and Iguanus.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's a fine toy. Those are really cool. And they came back to that with the activators. And granted, you're not going to get you know, snap-on weapons that have their own hidey holes like you do in the early Beast Wars toys. But, I mean, these are still really nice. And the molds are nice. I mean, like I said, I really like the Seeker mold for these. The Starscream was nice. But then, you know, you've got a Dirge and Thundercracker. I know there's a Skywarp in Japan that Thorazine has. He's got them all. Yeah, but
everything.
He's got all the Seekers. All your Seekers belong to Thorazine.
Yes.
But I really wanted that because I just like these little guys. They're cool. I mean, the only drawback is with some of the molds, the spring-loaded catch doesn't hold very well. So it's hard to keep them in their alt mode.
Yeah.
But they look really good in regular. Like I said, this Grimlock is awesome. They're practically, because of the show, the way it's animated, it's very simple, right? It's very minimalistic. I was going to say, these figures are, for the most part, show accurate, even at their size.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and especially if you're a Seeker collector, you know, you don't have to buy all these Voyager-sized Seekers, because you can get them for $6 at the smaller price point.
Yep. Spada, any last thoughts on activators or bumper battlers?
I think they're a cool idea, or specifically the activators, but I was never a big fan because I like transforming them myself. But for smaller kids, these are great. Because for smaller kids, I mean, like 3, maybe 4, kids today just don't have the capability of doing the more complicated transformations. Because
well, even some of us adults don't have it either.
Well, yes, that is true. But I think the activators were a good idea. I just don't think that many people bought them. But that right. leads us into probably the best-selling part of the line, which was the deluxes.
The deluxes. Now, before we get too far into this, do you guys remember what the first deluxe class figure you both bought? Spada, do you remember which one was the first that you ever got for the deluxe size class?
For Transformers Animated? Yeah, because I got a couple of the deluxes all at the same time. The first one that I opened was the set from... was the two-pack deluxe set where you had battle-damaged Cybertron Optimus and battle-damaged Cybertron Mode Megatron.
Right,
that was
right.
the first deluxe set I opened.
What about you, Michael?
Me too. That would be it. Yeah.
I think the first deluxe I ever bought probably was Elite Guard Bumblebee.
Really? Because he came later.
I know, he came much later, but I again, back at the time when the show was airing, because, and I've said this before on this show, because at the time it came on at like 10:30 in the morning on Saturday, and I just couldn't remember to watch it, and just really was,
you were
at that time, I don't think I really was watching video reviews, so.
And in all honesty, some of those episodes were, especially in season two, very hard to watch.
Yes.
If you don't like the human characters, it's kind of a little hard to watch. The this interesting story about when I first found the animated toys is I was at BotCon 2008, and there was one guy who showed up, and he said, "Hey, I was driving up here, and 20 miles to the south or whatever, there's a Toys R Us that has all these toys." And they really hadn't been released anywhere else yet. And to my knowledge, they released them in that area around, what was it, Lexington?
Yeah, no, 2008 was in Cincinnati.
Okay, in Cincinnati. So I remember I drove. So they had them in that area specifically because BotCon was there. Mm-hmm. And one guy got a complete set of like the first wave. It was like six figures, and was like showing them off to everybody, and people were freaking out completely. I was in line for something, and the guy walked by and go, "Oh, look at this!" And coming the opposite way was Scott McNeil, and so it's me and Scott McNeil and this guy with the animated toys, and we're all just going completely nuts over him. But on the way home, on the drive home, we stopped at a Walmart, and it was just like, there's a Walmart every 50 miles off the highway. So we pull over, we look. Yeah, they had them all. They had like wave one and two.
Yeah.
And I bought them all. And Christy's like, "Didn't you just spend like $2,000 on toys?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but I'm going to buy these eventually, I might as well do it now." So I walked out with all of them, like a whole cart full of them.
Wow.
Yeah. But it was a great find. I mean, as a toy collector and a toy hunter, to run into something like that, you don't, it's nice.
Like looking a gift horse in the mouth. You just don't do it.
Exactly. It's like, how long it's going to take me to find this particular guy? Because he's wave two and he's not going to be released anywhere else in the country for 6 months. I'm going to get him right now.
Yeah. In wave one, we had Cybertron Mode Optimus, Bumblebee, Lockdown, and Prowl. And wave two was Black Arachnia and Autobot Ratchet.
Well, Wave 2 was really kind of a 1.5, and then...
Yeah.
It really was weird, because you had Cybertron Mode Optimus, Bumblebee, Lockdown, and Prowl, and they were all... I'd say the weak one out of that bunch for me was Lockdown, but that was because of the hand issue.
Really?
Right. Oh, yeah.
What was the hand issue?
The fact that you could only flip the hand out halfway, so it looked like his hands were constantly pointing into his thighs.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, they won't push straight forward.
Mm. Yep. They couldn't. You would have to take the figure apart.
I see what you're talking about. Yeah, it looks like there's a catch on his wrist, like it should.
Mm-hmm.
Like it should be able to do that, but it's catching on the inside of that frame.
Well, it's not just the frame. It's also there's too much plastic on the actual hand, and there's too much plastic on the inside of the wrist.
On the inside of the wrist, yeah.
And then Bumblebee
That's
had
never
his own
bothered me before.
It drives me batty.
Oh. Now,
Bumblebee also has his own set of issues where the little stingers will not fold all the way into his arms. Now, that was corrected in his repaint, which was released in Wave 4, I believe?
Yeah.
And then Prowl had his own issues where he would fall apart because the ball joints weren't the correct size.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
this
amazing.
Is where
I never noticed that before.
Yeah, the reason I'm talking about this is because this is showing something that happened with the entire animated line that really hadn't happened before. And that is the severe lack of quality control.
Mm-hmm.
And this came up because, one, Hasbro changed factories where they were having their toys built. They went with much cheaper factories, and it was evident.
Huh.
Yeah.
I never noticed that about the Bumblebee before, but I've got the Elite Guard Bumblebee here, and his stingers do fold back completely.
Yeah, and they do not on the original.
The original.
Release.
Right.
The other thing about the original was, and this goes to what Spada said a second ago about just crappy construction in the factory, the regular deluxe Bumblebee, they couldn't pick a shade of yellow to save their lives. I mean, on one side it's neon yellow, on another side it looks like it's painted almost dark gold, on another side it's another color. Yeah, it's like, pick a color already.
And that was because all of the plastic parts were made in different factories, mm-hmm. Specifically with Bumblebee, because they were using different paint mixes. Normally, when they make these figures, when they make all the parts are cast together in the same factory. Right. Hasbro has stated that that was not the case with Bumblebee for some reason. Because they were having Elite Guard Bumblebee, which was actually made first, if you actually look at Elite Guard Bumblebee, the plastic where it's black is different plastic than where the yellow is. And if you go back and look at the original Bumblebee, it's where that black is where the coloration differences come in.
Right.
Hmm.
So yeah. Technically, Elite Guard Bumblebee wasn't the repaint. The regular Bumblebee was the repaint.
Correct. In the manufacturing process.
Right. Right.
That is interesting. You know, in 2000, I want to say 2008, there was a Walmart exclusive called Legacy of Bumblebee. And they had a repaint of Classic Bumblebee and a repaint of Movie Bumblebee and a repaint of Animated Bumblebee where they all, well, Animated and Classics have the racing stripe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he already has a racing stripe, so technically that's not a big deal.
That was, I can't
remember.
Is it looking
any different?
I can't remember what store that was an exclusive for, but I know what you're talking about.
No, it's Walmart. Yeah.
It was Walmart. It was a multi-pack Autobot Ratchet and Bumblebee 2-pack.
Mm-hmm.
Thus far, this pack has only been found at Toys R Us stores in the United Kingdom and Germany. Hmm.
Well, I was about to say, it looks like his arms are the ones where the stingers fold all the way back. So it literally looks exactly like the original Bumblebee, except for the stingers.
Yeah.
That's kind of so neat.
Weird. Yeah,
just drug him out of the closet. I'm going to put him back now.
So, yeah, like Spada said, Wave 2 is essentially also Wave 1 because they released... I don't get that. Like, if you're going to have a wave of toys, three or more makes sense to me as a wave. Two figures in one wave, that makes no sense. You also had Black Arachne and Autobot Ratchet.
Was it actually the whole wave just two figures, or was it two figures and Bumblebee and Optimus again?
No.
It was just those two figures.
And that's another thing we will, as we get farther into this, that folks will see is their wave distribution in this series or in this in animated is just so out there.
Bad.
It's like Hasbro just completely forgot how to do its job.
No.
But Black Arachnia was an okay figure. It wasn't bad. but it was so tiny. It was the smallest anime figure, hands down. All of the deluxe figures tower over her.
What about Soundwave? Because he's kind of squat too, but
she's shorter than Soundwave.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Ratchet was a pretty damn good figure.
Yeah, Ratchet was pretty cool. I like the Earth Mode Ratchet more so than when we get later to talk about the Cybertronian Ratchet. The Earth Mode Ratchet was a really, really great design.
No, I like it. I like the fact that he has tools and he can hold them all. And it's just a neat toy.
Yep. And then Wave 3 is where we get Autobot Jazz, Oil Slick, who the hell is that, Snarl, and Soundwave. And now the only reason why I say who the hell is Oil Slick is because at the time Wave 3 came out, we were still in, what, Season 1 or Season 2? Season 3 hadn't, I mean, Oil Slick wasn't even in the show.
Yeah.
And when he was in there for, what, 2 minutes?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that was kind of an afterthought. They're like, hey, wasn't this guy a toy? Let's just throw him in there for fun.
And the funniest thing, I think I said this last week or a couple weeks ago on this podcast, you know, when I've gone into like Walgreens or Rite Aid or something like that like a year ago, I would find Oil Slicks out the ass in these just overpriced pharmacy stores.
I'm going to stop you there. I strongly suggest you rephrase that.
Why?
Just trust me.
You can't say overpriced pharmacy stores?
No.
Oh, found him out the ass. Lovely.
Oil Slicks. Oh. Yeah, anyway, sorry.
He was essentially, you know, after the people that got him that wanted him, he was essentially one of the biggest shelf formers in the line because you would find him pretty much anywhere and everywhere.
But he didn't appear in the show.
Not yet, no. And when he did, like Spada said, it was for, or Michael said, it was all of, you know, less than 5 minutes. Yeah, he had one
Lincoln,
line.
You'll miss it. Yeah. But no, I'm looking at him now. This is a cool figure. He's a cool toy. He looks cool.
Oil Slick is a fantastic figure.
Yeah.
He's one of the best in the line.
Yeah. They could have played him off as like the anti-Prowl.
Oh, yeah.
He's a motorcycle. They both have nunchuck weapons. Well, yeah, this is kind of a nunchuck, sort of like a barrel / nunchuck thing. They could have done a lot with this character.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just, it's a very cool toy.
I really liked Autobot Jazz. I thought he was really cool. Mm-hmm. Soundwave, I wasn't...
Wasn't the best figure, but I see what they were going for, and it was... He was an interesting character in the show for the 2 episodes he showed up in.
Hmm.
Well, yeah. He was an interesting character in the show, but the character design in the show I don't think really translated to the toy. Because I mean, the overall design deco and the overall aesthetic of the toy compared to the animated design is correct. But the toy was just, as Michael said, he was way too squat. For me, he did not say deluxe class figure. He said more of like a scout class or legends class figure rather than anything else.
I would agree with that. I mean, it was a very small figure.
Well, I think, yeah, just because of his robot mode, it's kind of like a Scion type of thing?
Scion XP, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, when he transforms, he looks just like he does in the show, but when you stand him next to the other figures, he's at least a head or two shorter. Especially when you stand him next to, like, a Lockdown. He's half the height of a Lockdown.
Well, everything was half the height of a Lockdown. Lockdown is bigger than Voyager class figures.
Yeah, no, he's really tall and lanky. But this figure may have been better in, like, a Voyager class.
Oh, yeah. I would so... like it better if he was Voyager size.
I mean, it's kind of like Lugnut. Not Lugnut. What was I thinking? Bulkhead. Voyager Bulkhead is a decent toy, but you wouldn't buy him because you'd want a big Bulkhead. You'd want a leader class.
Leader Bulkhead is better than Voyager Bulkhead.
Exactly. So, I mean, if they had released a Voyager class Soundwave, I mean, I'm not sure what they'd do with all this stuff on him. They might make him open up and keep guitars in his chest or something. I don't know.
That would be cool.
That would be cool, but...
And then the last figure in that wave was Snarl.
Snarly. You're Snarly.
Which was the same height as Black Arachnia.
Yeah.
That...
Yeah. He is...
That figure sucked.
He's supposed to be short and squat, though.
Yeah.
I didn't mind him being short and squat, because I think that was his character.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of, translucent orange. I love his head sculpt. He's just I think it works for him where it doesn't work for Soundwave.
I think the one problem that I have with the wave releases is that if you're going to have the Dinobots as toys, they all need to be in their own wave. Snarl, Swoop, and Grimlock should have all been in one wave as a team rather than sporadically releasing them in, oh, hey, look, let's throw Snarl in with these other three guys and let's throw Swoop in with these other two. So wave four, we have Swoop, Elite Guard Bumblebee, and Sentinel Prime. Everybody that has listened to this podcast before and anybody that's talked to me about Transformers Animated pretty much knows my feelings on Sentinel Prime and Sentinel Prime's toy. Worst toy ever.
Really?
I disagree with that.
Yeah, I put him in robot mode.
There are worse out there. He's not the best. Definitely not going to lie to you. He's
worst toy
best.
In animated then.
Aside from these giant shoulders, he's fairly cartoon accurate. He's got an awesome head sculpt.
Accurate. I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, all the toys are cartoon accurate. But
Well, you compare this to
with him is just the fact that, again, it's the same problem I have with Soundwave. He just seems too small. Like if this was a even though I don't care for the character of Sentinel, if this was a Voyager class, I might like the toy a little bit better.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I could also see how if they had. I don't want to say, spent the money, but, literally, they could have made him a little taller. His legs are very squat compared to his chest. And especially how they have, lockdown, literally being really, really twice the length of his vehicle mode almost in height. Probably, and I don't want to say this for certain, but I would probably go out on a limb and say that originally his legs were supposed to extend somehow to make him taller so that he would be a little bit more in proportion to his upper body.
Oh, yeah.
But at some point that got lost or something. I mean, you can see the way his lower legs transform, the back half – it's like a hinge or something that swings it down. I mean, I could see how they could have done this in such a way where he could have gained, half an inch to an inch.
And also something, for all of those with the Allspark Almanac, I think it's the Allspark Almanac, the Sentinel toy mold was slightly remodeled and redone to be an Ironhide Earth Mode toy mold.
Really? And
It was a pretty big redesign, but it looked awesome.
Is it in Volume 1 or Volume 2?
I believe it's in Volume 2.
Yeah, that's when they talk about all the toys. I'm actually going to look it up right now. Spada, do you have any thoughts on Snarl or Elite Guard Bumblebee?
I liked Elite Guard Bumblebee. Hated Swoop. Swoop,
that's what I meant, not Snarl.
Swoop. I'm actually looking at my shelf here for Swoop, and I'm not seeing them. Somebody must be standing on top of Swoop, because I'm not seeing him in here. But Elite Guard Bumblebee, my favorite part about him was the fact that he had the same color as his Prowl.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you could literally put Elite Guard Bumblebee on top of Prowl and be in good shape. It would look like he's riding him, And they were the same color.
Yeah.
Or it would have been a good compliment for the highway theme that Prowl had going.
Yeah, it would have been. I really liked Elite Guard Bumblebee just because he's black with blue windows and he's got gold around the sides of him. So it's almost like he's a reverse gold bug where he's a black bug.
Okay.
Now if we start looking forward at the last couple of waves, we have waves 5, 6, and 7. Yeah. Now, for me, waves 5 and 6 came out at the exact same time. in the stores around here. And that was Wave 5 was Blazing Lockdown, Blur, and Swindle. And Wave 6 was Waspinator and Samurai Prowl.
On my stores, I found everything except Samurai Prowl.
I love Samurai Prowl.
You what?
I love that character. He's awesome.
Yes.
It's a cool toy. My only issue is once you put the samurai armor on, he can't really move.
He's frozen in time.
I had a problem with it falling off. It doesn't clip on anywhere. He just kind of balances on his head.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, but he looks really cool.
That's very funny. Yeah. Out of these two waves, I liked Blur the best, even though when I bought Blur, as soon as I got him home and I tried to transform him, his legs immediately promptly fell off.
Mine too.
Is that the one where you did you throw those behind the desk, or was that something else?
No, we'll get to that story later. That was with Optimus. We'll get to that later. A buddy of ours, Optimus Scourge, may he rest in peace, he actually did a video for me. He did it for more so for everybody, but where you basically boil some hot water, dip Blur's legs into the hot water, and it would melt a little bit. It would form the plastic so you could actually have an easier time of putting the legs back on.
Okay, yeah.
It wouldn't actually melt the plastic.
Yeah, no, it was just softening right it up, now. And then the memory kick in.
Yeah, it softens it up.
Yeah.
And then Swindle, I like Swindle. Swindle is an awesome character in the show. He's an awesome toy. Again, my only problem with him is if he was maybe Voyager class, I would have liked the toy a little bit better.
There's nothing not to like with Swindle. Not a damn thing.
I had an issue where his top chest would not stay where it was. It just kept flapping around.
Yeah.
Blazing Lockdown was just a yellow piece of poo.
The only thing interesting to me about Blazing Lockdown was the spikes in his neck. Those were kind of cool.
I like the fact that he came with a chainsaw.
Eh.
I dug it. What I liked about it is he's a repaint, but he's a remold as well.
Unfortunately, the figure didn't do anything for me. Just as Waspinator, I was really psyched to get the figure, and it was kind of a letdown.
It was such a letdown.
It was,
And again, Waspinator was, again, one of those toys. Actually, both of these waves stayed in my stores locally, Target and Walmart, stayed on shelves for months after they got released. I mean, you know, I was worried when I bought the original Blur. I actually went back like the next day to get another one for car mode, and I was worried that Blur was going to be gone. And lo and behold, you know, looking behind several Sentinel figures, there was a Blur. but these two waves were one of the biggest batch of shelf warmers in the line.
Now, do you think Waspinator was such a big letdown because it wasn't more of an homage to Beast Wars Waspinator?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I think, to me, this figure looks a lot more like the Beast Machines Wasp figure. And
Buzzsaw.
Buzzsaw. Yeah. It looks like a taller version of Buzzsaw. And even in robot mode, or alt mode, in the wasp mode, they look very similar.
Yeah. And my thoughts on Samurai Prowl are a sidecar. Are you kidding me? Ugh.
No, it's cool.
And then Wave 7. Wave 7, I like that they did electrostatic Soundwave because it was kind of homaging the repaints in the show.
Rep at.
But Wave 7 is really where animated almost crossed over with the freaking movies. Freeway Jazz, you got to be kidding me. A movie animated version of Jazz.
It was a silver Jazz, yeah.
Great.
You know, I would have been a lot happier with a Stepper repaint.
Yeah.
Seriously, no, a Stepper repaint would have completely blew my mind. I would have bought the hell out of that.
All right. So before we move on to the next wave or next class, do you guys have a number one favorite out of the Voyager waves, Spada?
out of the Voyager waves.
Or not Voyager Deluxe, sorry. Getting ahead of myself.
In all honesty, no. I liked a lot of them, but none of them were absolute standout fantastic figures. There were some good ones, and there were some not so good ones. If I had to pick, I would have to pick Oil Slick.
Cool. What about you, Michael, for the deluxes? Do you have like a personal number one favorite?
I hate to waffle like this, but it's like I like them all.
If you had to pick one, who would it be?
I don't know. Let me look here.
Megatron's got his fusion cannon pointed at your head. Pick one.
You have to pick one. Actually, you know, just looking at them all, I want to say the one that's the most visually striking would have to be like Oil Slick. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that Rodimus that came much later, he's looking pretty good too.
Well, and I should state, the way that we're doing this, even though we are going by size class, I save the exclusives for the end. So we'll come back to the other deluxes as well.
Revisit that one.
Yes.
Just looking at the shelf, the ones that jump out at me the most are those exclusives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So going into Voyagers, again, what was the first Voyager you ever picked up, Spada?
Well, I picked up a couple at the same time, as I said, but the first one I opened was, I think it was Megatron. I'm pretty sure it was Megatron and then Starscream.
What about you, Michael?
I want to say it was Starscream.
Cool.
And yes. I'm thinking Grimlock for some reason, but I think he came later.
Yeah, Grimlock was in Wave 2.
Yeah, but I definitely opened Starscream first because I like that character.
Yeah, Wave 1 for Voyager has Bulkhead, Cybertronian Mode, Megatron, and Starscream. I didn't particularly... Like, I like Starscream in the show. I like his colors in the show, but I didn't particularly like the toy colors.
Something was off on the toy colors.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't really think that the toy colors were... I don't want to say they were G1 accurate, because they weren't, but even though he's an homage. But I thought they were very show accurate. But I preferred the repaints.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, I have an opinion on Starscream that is not widely shared.
Okay.
I think the Voyager Starscream figure is a complete and total piece of crap.
Is that because it fell apart on you at one point?
Well, it's not just that. I mean, it really isn't just that. It's the Voyager Starscream figure is a 100% ripoff of every single Robotech toy ever made, or Macross. It is the exact transformation for Macross figures.
Really?
It is dead exact. It is spot on to every VF1 and VF. I'm trying to think what the one it's actually most like is. Whatever is the red, the VF19. I'm sorry. No, it's not the VF19. It's it's very similar, almost to disturbingly the same figure as G1 Jetfire.
Yeah, see, I'm looking at my G1 Jetfire right now, and I'm trying to compare the two, going, well, how exactly
the transformation is exactly the same.
Huh. I don't know. I'm differing on you. I don't think that's the case, but
as someone who owns a lot of Macross figures,
I've only got the one.
I have the VF1, I've got the VF5, I've got the VF19, I've got the VF21. I've got a lot of those figures, and Starscream is a ripoff. I'm sorry.
I can kind of see where you're saying that, like the dorsal portion of the plane splits in half behind the cockpit, and it then bends over to become the front and back halves of the plane. or the front and back halves of the robot mode, I should say. So you've got, like, his chest here.
The thrusters.
I can kind of see that.
The thrusters in vehicle mode become the legs. The robot arms tuck in between the rear thrusters. The chest area and the backpack form the fuselage and the cockpit areas. It's exactly the same as a Robotech figure.
Well, that can be said for any number of the Seekers from any line. When you look at Energon
Not really. Not really. Okay. What I'm saying is the Starscream animated figure, or that mold, is a one-to-one transformation ripoff of those Bandai figures.
Okay. I'll kind of go with that. I'm looking at like, the Jetfire, and just the way the legs fit, they're, like, attached to on either side of the cockpit. And for the Starscream, it doesn't work that way at all. The crotch, for lack of a better term, right, actually completely folds underneath the cockpit. The whole front of the cockpit pushes up, or the whole front of the fuselage pushes up under the cockpit. And then
in future Bandai figures, the cockpit doesn't push up into the chest. It actually the nose cone folds up completely into the chest, as opposed to just sliding up.
Yeah, so that's what's happening with I'm actually holding a Skywarp. So that's what happens with Skywarp. But the original Jetfire, his whole nose cone kind of comes down into a crotch area, and the legs attach to a die-cast metal piece on either side of that.
Yeah. Now,
so he doesn't really have a crotch he has a crotch.
Is the nose cone of the plane.
Yeah, but if you're saying that later figures transform just like the animated figure, then I'll buy that because I don't know any better.
Yeah, I have a figure upstairs in our guest room that it's a $150 figure that comes with like a shat ton of accessories.
Yeah,
but it is a one-to-one transformation similarity. It's disturbing,
but it's a nice transformation. The only problem I have with this transformation is that the cockpit is supposed to lock in place at the crotch level,
and it's
very loose. It is, and then in the back, you've got these two tiny wings that aren't even attached.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like wings that are almost like the tails of a sport coat or something, you know. And they're back there, but they fall off. And every time I go to pull his back over. Right? Because it doesn't lock into place either. It kind of flops around. Those little sub-wings fall off. And that's the only problem I have with them.
Do the legs fall? Do legs break off at the upper thigh on your figure at all?
No.
My figure had all the problems that yours does, plus the legs falling off at the thighs.
You know, mine... I'm twisting mine around like this. Mine has a very very satisfying click there.
We can hear it. Yes.
At the crotch level, the hip level, let's say.
Not at the hip level. There are swivel joints right below the hips.
Oh, okay. Now there's a swivel joint below the hips, but then there's also a hinge directly below that.
No, the swivel is where my figure. Now I've also gotten I also ended up getting a Skywarp. Same exact issue.
Yeah.
I took him back and got my money back.
The other ones in Wave 1 are Bulkhead and Cybertron Mode Megatron. When I saw Cybertron Mode Megatron, I was like, really? This thing doesn't look like anything that we saw on the show.
No, it doesn't. It's like they couldn't figure out what to do with the gun.
Yep.
And Bulkhead has a really good vehicle mode. The robot mode
sucks.
Yeah. It's not a good robot mode.
No, those legs are horrible.
Legs are horrible. Just the figure itself is not very good. But then, in, I believe it was Wave 2, we got probably the best figure of the entire line.
Would that be Earth Mode Optimus Prime?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And even though Optimus Prime officially debuted in Wave 2 of the Voyager-class toys, he was found at U.S. retail later than the Wave 3 toys, Grimlock and Lugnut, which is really weird. Now, I have an issue with Optimus, because apparently when he was first packaged and sent out to people, I had bought one at Target, or was Target or Walmart, I don't know, it was one of those stores. I bought one, and he had his Autobot sticker on his left shoulder. I then went back, and obviously there were no more Optimuses at Walmart, so I went online to one of Michael's favorite websites, Entertainment Earth, and I ordered one from there. When I got the one from Entertainment Earth, I opened him up, and I wasn't going to transform him because I wanted him for vehicle mode. I didn't really care. I didn't really notice this. As soon as I eventually said, screw it, I'm tired, I want to change, I transformed the version I got from Entertainment Earth. He had no sticker on his arm. I'm like, what the hell is this? Apparently, some of the earlier waves or some of the earlier boxes of Wave 2 that got sent out didn't have the sticker on it.
What sticker are we referring to?
The one on Voyager class, Earth Mode Optimus, his left shoulder, his Autobot symbol.
Oh, I don't have one.
You don't have one what?
I don't have an Autobot insignia on his left shoulder.
That you have one of the first shipments that went out then, because
Sweet.
He then came out later with
the insignia
with the insignia on his left shoulder.
I had never noticed that before. Mine does not have one.
Yeah, I so noticed it as soon as I opened that package, as soon as I transformed him. Now, if I had never transformed that that toy that I got from Entertainment Earth, I probably would have never noticed it. But
That's neat.
I so noticed it.
Huh.
I never noticed that. I'll have to take a look at. I'll have to watch my own video review and see which one I had.
See, now I have a problem with this guy, and the problem is that the way the waist.
Yeah.
His wrist, the auto waist. It's his
the auto waist, yes.
The auto waist, yeah. I mean, there's like a gear or something that turns when you move his waist. But, and I mean, that's a neat gimmick, sure, but it's very loose in a robot mode. And it's hard to keep him steady. So that kind of bothers me. But, you know, other than that, I mean, I love his proportions. I love his colors. The way his battle mask folds up and down over his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. You know, his head rotates. I mean, he's just got a lot of articulation. He's a very, very cool figure. I could probably do without the axe.
And yeah, that axe is kind of... First of all, it's not show accurate at all. Second of all, that's where they went back to doing gimmicks for kids, because the axe and the gun... Well, the gun specifically is a water pistol. Which is kind of
That's kind of worthless. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the TF Wiki for Optimus's toys, and they do note the very first releases of the figure did not have the faction symbol. They then went back, and which is weird to me because I bought the one at Walmart after the Optimus wave had already been out for a while.
Me too. Yeah, I found it at Walmart.
I got lucky. Yeah. And it wasn't like that I had gotten it like right when it first came out. I bought it way later. So the one at Walmart had it. And then like 2 days after I got that one, I went on to Entertainment Earth. And it's weird to me that Entertainment Earth would still have a shipment of unstickered Optimuses.
Right.
And mine is unstickered, apparently.
Hmm. Ah, there you go. I'll have to look. You're not going to be able to find it now, but it's like, are there any that have stickers? Because I don't remember.
Yes, there are. Yeah, there are, because mine had stickers. The one I bought from Walmart had stickers.
This line is chock full of running changes.
Oh, yes.
So what about what was in the next wave?
Well, still in this wave, because we just talked about Optimus for now. Still in this wave, we have Grimlock and Lugnut.
I thought those guys were in Wave 3.
Oh, you know, they are in Wave 3. Oh, so Wave 2 was just Optimus?
It sounds like it.
Wow.
Huh.
Holy
and you know what's weird? I didn't see any Optimuses out until after Wave 3.
After Wave 3,
and
yeah.
And then, when I saw them at Walmart, I was like, oh my god, they must have just pulled this out of the back or something. I'm going to scoop it up. And
The Voyager class toys for this line, Wave 2 and Wave 4, only have one figure. Wave 2 has Optimus, and then Wave 4 is Blitzwing. So going into Wave 3, we have Grimlock and Lugnut.
Who I never saw in stores until the end of the entire toy line.
Yeah.
Which was so weird. Now, both of those figures were pretty darn good.
Yeah. Grimlock looks awesome.
Grimlock is awesome. I mean, I liked him at the Activator size class, but, you know, he's pretty good that size class, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Grimlock is awesome. Everybody knows I'm not a fan of Lugnut whatsoever, just because I think we needed Astro Training animated, but...
I would have liked to see an animated Astro Train, because I love the Blitzwing figure, which came out Wave 4. I absolutely adore that figure. It's not perfect, not going to lie, but I just think it's a fun figure.
Yeah, it's a fun figure until when attempting to get it out of the box, it rips your entire thumbnail off.
I remember that.
I didn't have that problem.
Well, I didn't have that problem either. You're lucky then, because, all right, Michael remembers this story.
I do.
But I'll tell it for people that don't know, because this was on a ToyCast episode, I remember. I believe it was Christmas of 2009, I think. Yeah, Christmas of 2009. I went to Walmart. All of the animated toys were on sale. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'd like to get a Voyager. Well, what Voyagers do they have? They've got these guys. Okay, Blitzwing, I like him in the show. Pretty cool. I get him home. I literally had to because of the free, and this is before Hasbro went to those bread tie things. This is when the really hard plastic twist ties were still in effect. I had to literally half transform him to get him out from under the ties, because I've never had an X-Acto knife or clippers to clip it, so I would just use regular scissors, but I couldn't get the scissors in the spot where I had to clip this one wire, because it would have scraped the toy up. So I basically had to transform the damn thing while it was still in the box, and even pulling it out, it still ripped half my thumbnail off.
Ouch.
Yeah.
You see, you need a big serrated knife. Like I got.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But Blitzwing is really, really cool. Blitzwing is a great figure.
It is nice. I mean, there's compromises between the different modes, but he still turns out really nice. I mean, and his head, the way it spins, and you get to see all three faces.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on Blitzwing, Spada?
Just a freaking great figure. Just a lot of fun.
Yeah. Wave 5 had Shockwave / Longarm, the gray version, which... and Michael's favorite character, Skywarp.
Skywarp? You know, I did not find Skywarp in stores. I had to get mine off of Entertainment Earth.
Yeah.
And it was like the last one, apparently.
Even though I'm not a fan of Seekers in general as far as action figures outside of, like, the original G1 Seekers, Skywarp's colors on the Starscream mold look awesome in robot mode.
I totally agree with that. The coloring of that figure is great.
Yeah.
So much better than Starscream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good-looking figure. He's sharp.
Yep.
And then I am weird. I like the long arm Shockwave figure.
There's something wrong with you. Well, you need your head examined.
We all know this, but I like that figure.
Now, I like something that we'll talk about a little bit later, which is the repaint, but the gray version,
As a figure, though, as a toy, you literally got a quadruple changer.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks
or mode distinctive. One, that's awesome.
Yeah, he looks distinctive in I would say almost every mode. I mean, in crane mode, he kind of looks like a tank with the turret up and something hanging off it, you know. But he looks pretty distinctive in every mode. It's a well-engineered toy. He's very sharp.
I love the TF wikis. Because I'm looking at the Shockwave images on here, and you know how they always do witty captions under the pictures?
Yeah.
For the long arm gray wave version, punch. For the shockwave gray wave, counterpunch. For the purple ones, chugway. And then for the shockwave version of the purple one, one-eyed, one-horned, giant purple people squisher.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, Shockwave, the gray version, is great for long arm if you want to have a show-accurate long arm. But to just have Shockwave not purple just seems wrong to me.
And I understand where you're coming from, but and in the show, they actually talk about that in season three, or they mention it, but I think it works. I like it. I like the figure. I think it's a good figure. Now, yes, I would have preferred getting a hold of the purple one later, but
yeah,
it's still a good figure. And yep, then you've got two distinct different robot modes, which right, I just think is awesome.
It is, yes. And then Wave 6, you had Rekgar and Atomic Lugnut, which Atomic Lugnut is essentially just a repaint.
Yeah, it's a,
nice repaint.
It's not a bad repaint. What was it, green and yellow? Was that
it's
what
almost,
it was?
Yeah. It's almost a teal and a gold. And then he's got a big black Decepticon logo on his chest. And he's kind of got the yellow and black highlights that the signify the you know, I want to say caution tape or like
the
biohazard.
Yeah,
exactly.
The biohazard.
I mean, yeah, I like this color better than the original one.
In the picture on the TF Wiki, he looks like he's more. It might just be the picture, but it looks like it's more silver on the actual paint application. Right. Like his legs and his chest and all that. I don't know. It looks more silver to me in this image.
I don't think it's silver. This is all. It's all green.
Yeah.
It's a dull tealish green, but he's. I mean, you know, it's still Lugnut. Mm-hmm. Do we really need more Lugnuts? I mean, unless they're gonna give us a Supreme Class Omega toy and paint him up as Lugnut.
And that kind of does it for the Voyager class.
Yeah, oh, you know, one more thing I was going to say about Lugnut is the on the cockpit, he's got kind of like the tiger, the teeth,
yeah,
with the mouth on the side. It's a very cool looking, you know, plane.
And then that was carried over into the Hunt for the Decepticons figures.
Yeah, it was. Okay, out of the Voyagers, do you guys have a favorite Spada?
Earth Mode Prime.
Michael?
I would have to lean toward the Earth Mode Prime. You know, the Rekgar is cool, but he's hard to find. I had a really, I mean, the Atomic Lugnut. Yeah, no, Atomic Lugnut was a shelf warmer. You could find him anywhere. Could not find a Rekgar on the shelves to save your own life. I found one, and I was really happy. I mean, I like the Blitzwing character. Yeah, the Blitzwing toy, but honestly, I think I transformed him once and said, wow, you know, this is kind of a pain in the ass. I'm just going to leave him in robot mode.
Yep.
And left him there. And you know, honestly, there was a very similar to Shockwave, where I transformed him and I was like, wow, this is kind of neat. But he, you know, especially purple Shockwave, he looks a lot better as Shockwave. I'm just going to leave him in this mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's way in the back of the shelf as purple Shockwave.
Yep. I don't know. I would have to agree with you guys. Earth Mode Optimus is probably the best out of the Voyagers here. Going into the leader class, we had Bulkhead, Earth Mode Megatron, and Ultra Magnus. And then we also had two repaints of Shadowblade Megatron, and Roadbuster Ultra Magnus, which is redecoed as Generation 1 Roadbuster homage.
Right.
Electronics that don't have acid batteries, yay!
Ooh.
Because all the old toys, you had to actually put batteries in, and if you left them in there a long time, they would corrode.
It bled out, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, the leader class toys, I didn't open any of them. except for one. I did open
Roadbuster Ultra Magnus,
yeah, because I really like that toy. I really like Roadbuster. I'm a huge fan of Roadbuster. And I'll open pretty much anything that's looking like homage to him. And this figure, you know, when you push his I'm sure this is the same as the regular Ultra Magnus, but when you push his chest, his mouth opens and he lights up and he talks.
Don't be a hero, Optimus. It's not in your programming.
Yes.
So that's kind of neat. I like how he lights up and... Ah! Oh, it just blinded me. Okay, those are bright. yeah. But, I mean, this guy's covered in guns. Yeah. He's got pop-out weaponry.
Isn't it wonderful?
He's a great toy. I mean, I like him, but, I mean, for kids, this would be an awesome toy.
I think
he's big. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, out of all the leaders, I think Ultra Magnus is the best.
Yeah. He's the only one I opened, so.
Megatron's really good as well. I really dug Megatron simply because it was the Earth. Like, the Deluxe class, as the Cybertron mode. And it didn't even look like what it looked like on the show. So I felt kind of, you know, gypped out of that. And then when the leader class version came out and it was the Earth mode, that's what I liked the best about it, was that it was the Earth mode version.
Didn't you have two of those?
No, I only had one. I traded Thorazine a bunch of stuff for one.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I didn't even open mine. I mean, he looks cool. He looks very simplistic to me, though. It's like if he didn't have lights and sound, I don't think I would have liked him nearly as much.
Well, that's the point of him. I mean, he's, you know, like I said on earlier episodes of the podcast when we were talking about the stock animation sequences.
Yeah.
You know, the stock animation sequence for Megatron is essentially a tutorial to transform his toy. The toy transforms exactly the way he did in the show for the most part.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who needs YouTube reviewers? Go watch the cartoons.
Go watch the cartoons. I don't know. I'm still playing with Ultra Magnus here, and he is cool.
Yeah,
To this day, I don't like the Bulkhead figure.
No, Bulkhead. Really? Yeah.
Aww. I mean, I think Bulkhead really got a raw deal in the show. They needed kind of a jokey character. They made it Bulkhead, and none of his toys were any good. I've heard his activator figure is pretty cool, though.
Yeah. I think out of all, like, if you're just going to compare the Bulkhead toys up against each other, I think the Leader Class one is probably the best out of all the Bulkhead toys. But Bulkhead up against any of the other Leader Class or any of the other figures in general, just no.
Mm. But he came with a Headmaster unit, so he kind of makes up for it.
We all know how you love the Headmaster, you noob.
Ultra Magnus here.
Yeah. I like, I'm still playing with Ultra Magnus. This is such a cool toy. I love this hammer. It's hammer time.
And then you've got the two repaints. You know, Michael said he loves the Roadbuster homages, and he loves Roadbuster in general. So you got the Roadbuster Ultra Magnus. And you have the Shadowblade Megatron. Now, I asked on Twitter, I asked Derek J. Wyatt, I said, so is the Shadowblade Megatron toy just meant to be a repaint and kind of an homage to Galvatron? He's like, oh, hell no.
Don't even say that. Yeah.
Before we move on, you guys, I'm assuming everybody likes Ultra Magnus the best out of the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't be a hero, Optimus. It's not in your programming.
Moving on to the Supreme class, did anybody buy these? The Rollout Command Optimus and the Parabot's something different. But did anybody buy Rollout Command Optimus?
Chrissy bought it for me.
Did she?
I was not going to buy it because it's like $50.
Yeah.
And it looks to me a lot like the Voyager size.
Yeah.
And I wasn't gonna buy it, and she came home with it. She was like, "Look what I got you."
Well, the kind of difference is that that Rollout Command Optimus does have electric. I mean, he's essentially a leader class. I mean, even though he's in Supreme class, he does have David K. voice electronics.
Huh. I'm looking up in the closet to see if I can see him. I see the Jetstorm and Jetfire that I never bothered to open. I've got a couple of those Target exclusive Shockwaves and Sunstorms that I bought and didn't open.
I'll take a couple of those if you want to sell them to me.
I've got one more up there, but I can't tell who it is. Just says Decepticon Voyager class on the side.
It's probably a Shockwave. Getting into the entertainment packs, Spada, did you have any opinions on Rollout Command Optimus?
Nope. Saw him on the shelves. Even when he was $15 on clearance, I didn't buy him.
Oh, see, I would have bought one for $15.
Moving on to the entertainment packs, we have Optimus Prime versus Megatron, the Battle Begins 2-pack. Now, didn't this come with a DVD?
Yes.
What was on the DVD?
I can't remember.
I never watched it.
I think it was the first or second episode.
Okay.
Something. Yeah. It was a random episode, or either that or it was like a description of... It was like all the previews or something. I'm not sure.
Now, the two figures in general, are they both battle damaged, or is it just Optimus that's... Okay, they are both battle damaged.
Optimus has, like, black battle damage. Megatron had black battle damage as well.
Do we like these figures? Are they good figures?
They were okay. Just decent. I mean, it was the only time we saw Megatron as a deluxe.
Yeah.
And I think the deluxe figure was very similar to the Voyager, but I think it was a better figure.
Yeah.
And the Optimus figure was, if I remember correctly, just the Cybertron version.
Yeah, Cybertronian version with battle damage.
And that was a good, decent mold. I mean, that was not a bad mold at all.
I liked the alt mode for the Cybertronian Optimus, but the robot mode just never really cared for
the
that.
The one thing I did like was it was a completely different transformation from, almost a completely different transformation from the deluxe, or the Cybertron mode to the Earth mode. Their transformations were different.
Yeah. Huh. And then Wave 2 has the team-up that Michael can't stand, Jetstorm and Jetfire.
Can't stand that one.
Those were not good figures. They were not good figures at all.
I think we were talking about them in the last episode, and I want to say that I had compared their combined mode to cuddling with your girlfriend, or your wife, in my case, where you have your arm underneath her. And your arm's falling asleep and you want to move it, but you don't really know where it's supposed to go. That's basically what the combined mode of the Jetstorm and Jetfire was. Where do the arms go? They're falling asleep. I don't know.
When I first transformed it, I did something wrong, and I had one of the arms sticking out between the legs.
Oh, nice. Okay,
I'm like,
then.
Wait a minute. This can't be right.
I know what to do with the arms now. Okay.
But the other thing that really irritated me was they were almost the same figure, and they turned into glorified robotic lawn darts. That was their vehicle mode.
Yeah, pretty much.
And their combined vehicle mode was two lawn darts stuck together.
Yeah, and, for all the combining and interesting things that they were supposed to do, they were not good toys. They were not good figures.
They were horrible
toys. I should say they are not good figures.
Yes.
Because they all haven't been burned in a fire yet.
Yeah.
That is true.
And then much later after even all the store not even after all the store exclusive stuff, but much later after the regular lines here, they came out with the Power Bots with Cyber Speed and Street Patrol Bumblebee, which essentially are just Street Patrol is essentially just a repaint of Cyber Speed Bumblebee. I saw these in stores and I was like, well, I guess, kids will get a kick out of it, but who really cares?
Oh, you know what? I didn't buy those. That's exactly how bad they were.
I don't even remember them.
You know, I have the movie version. Or I should say my kids have the movie version of both of those. And I did not get the animated one because I just thought they looked so bad.
Yeah, they. Here is the here is just the cyberspeed image. Yeah, it looks horrible. He has one stinger.
No, but it's like, you know, Transformers that don't transform.
The Transformers that don't transform.
Yep.
Yeah.
Badness.
Yes.
Yeah, they've released the movie versions three times.
Oh, yeah, I know.
The Dark of the Moon movie versions now have a different arm.
There are four different repaints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
so bad. Moving on to the exclusives, the ever-elusive exclusives. You had a couple of two-packs. Stealth Lockdown with Legends Class Bumblebee and Legends Class Optimus. You had Rescue Ratchet with Legends Class Starscream and Legends Class Prowl.
Now somebody got fired over those, I'm sure.
Why?
Well, I mean, these are two-packs, right? They probably should have retailed for about $19.99. And yeah. when they first came out at the stores at Target, their Target exclusives, I walked in and saw them in 1999 and said, "Yeah, that's pretty good because that's about how much you would pay for the Voyager class." But yeah. You know, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna pass on it for right now. Maybe when I get a little more money next week, I'll buy them. Well, by the next weekend, something strange happened. Yeah. Well, they went on sale for $5.
Yes.
Something
this
happened.
Also is true for Sunstorm with Ratchet and purple, finally purple Shockwave with Activator's Bumblebee. This is a really funny story, I think, because I've never done this in my entire life. You know how they always advertise the Coinstar stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was a Saturday morning. Derek J. Wyatt had posted on Twitter, "Oh, hey, Shockwave and Sunstorm are $5 at Target." I was like, "Is this just in California or is this everywhere?" He said, "I think it's everywhere." I took probably a jar that was filled almost to the brim with pennies. I took it up to the Kroger, put it in the Coinstar. I got like $15 in pennies worth. I then walked over to Target and bought two of the actually, I was sneaking through the toy aisle because there was a bunch of kids there. There was one left of Shockwave and Bumblebee. I just kind of reached around this old lady, snatched it, and just went right up to the counter.
Right off. See, at my store, there was a huge stack of them. And I bought like three of each.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I would have spent $20 on them anyway, so why not? You know?
Yeah, true. Now, going back to Stealth Lockdown and Rescue Ratchet, do you guys have any opinions on these? Do we like these figures? Because I never really saw these in stores.
Yeah, I think I misspoke. Those were not $5. I actually paid full price for those.
Yeah, no, those were full price. What was $5 was the Sunstorms and the Shockwaves.
Right. What bothered me about the Stealth Lockdown and the Rescue Ratchet is that they came with Legends class figures that were not repainted. So I basically had already bought the Legends class figures. And it's
Stealth
like, well,
Lockdown looks like a horrible thing out of an old A-Team episode.
No, it looks like a Lockdown. He's cool looking.
No, I just mean his paint deco. It looks like an army car you would see in an old A-Team episode.
Oh yeah, he's kind of gray, translucent, and with like a lime green highlight color. He's cool, and I mean I like having my Lockdown stand side by side because they're very distinctive from each other. And I really like the yellow Rescue Ratchet. I don't know what they were trying to homage here, but he looks really cool. It's a color that's brighter than Bumblebee. So it's like, oh, it's yellow. God, there's a lot of yellow in this line. But no, this is a very bright yellow.
Yeah, this is like traffic light yellow. I mean, this is like, you know, people always say, oh, I hate that fire engine red color. This is like
If fire engines were yellow, I mean, this is how bright this is. Wow.
Well, he's bright yellow with a fire engine red highlight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, it's a striking figure, you know, and it's that Ratchet mold that's really nice.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on these two, Spada?
Don't care for the stealth lockdown. Just didn't really care for that particular color and that weird translucentness. Didn't care for it. But the Ratchet was okay, but man, it was on the Target shelf forever.
Yes, it was.
I am not kidding you. Before Dark of the Moon figures hit, it was still in the clearance aisle in my local Target.
Wow. I like them, though. I would pick them up all over again. But again, you know, I already had those Legends class figures, so it was a tough sell for me. In fact, I think I let them wait until they hit the bargain bin first.
Yeah. And before we get to Sunstorm, I mentioned a couple episodes ago on this podcast, which Spada will have no clue of unless he listens, which I don't think he does, that I had a story about the Shockwave purple repaint. The story basically goes, I asked Derek J. Wyatt, what was, you know, how did you guys get Purple Wave into the show? And he basically told me that he saw the toy was coming out and he ran really quickly to one of the animators and said, hey, I know that, you know, this episode is pretty much done, but is there any way we can add this into the end and animate it like this for the future episodes? And basically within 5 minutes, they added it into the show at the end of,
nice.
This is Why I Hate Machines. Isn't that where it came in?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was one of those episodes. But no, the purple on Shockwave makes it look like a way better figure.
It's pretty amazing. And if I remember right, I want to say the toy came out before he turned purple in the show.
The toy was out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if he did this in the show?
Yeah. And but they had already set that up, though, because, well, they had set up the electromagnetic paint swap thing with the Wasp episode.
Right, so, where's thy sting?
So the paint switch or the color switch was already there to set up. They just had to implement it. Mm. So it was so awesome. So awesome.
Very cool.
Yes. And then for the Toys R Us exclusives, we have Bulkhead and Megatron Leader Class with Bumblebee and Star Activators, Bumblebee and Starscream. Wow, more re-releases. Lovely.
I don't think I have that. Were they repainted at all?
No, it's just Leader Class, Megatron, and Bulkhead.
With extra figure tacked on.
Yeah, with the extra figure tacked on.
That must be why I didn't buy it.
Why? I'm still trying to figure this out, but why did this line have so many freaking store exclusives?
Yeah.
Why? A
lot. Well, I think at the point of the main four that we're going to talk about for the really elusive, well, two of the really elusive exclusives, because the other two are nothing but shelf formers since they're repaints of each other, RC and Rodimus, they came out at the end of the line. They
came out after the line was already dead.
Right.
And they were Toys R Us exclusives, right?
That was a complete surprise. And I had heard for months about, oh, they're out and people are buying them. And I went back to my Toys R Us for at least 2 months every weekend, could not find them. And I thought, you know, they didn't distribute them properly. They short packed them somewhere or something, and they're not going to show up here. I'm never going to see them. And 2 months later, I did see them. You know, and they sold out really quick. But then, you know, later on, they become shelf warmers.
Took months for them to show up in my area.
Yeah, the same here. I mean, and the funny thing is, when I would go around to Toys R Us's and stuff, they would have the two shelf warmers. They would have Cybertron Mode Ratchet and Ironhide everywhere. Cybertron Mode Ratchet specifically, he was
everywhere.
I honestly think that they short packed RC. Like, you know how sometimes waves come in like four or six. I think if it was six, it was four Cybertron mode ratchets and two RCs per wave.
Well, if you look at the case assortments for the upcoming Transformers Prime toys, RC is going to be short packed.
Yeah. So is Cliff Jumper. So is Bulkhead.
That's a shame.
Yep.
I don't know. There are still Ironhides on the shelf at my Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah. There's also some Walmart exclusives. Michael mentioned earlier about the Bumblebee
Evolution, the Legacy, or
yeah,
I forget what it was called now. But
there was also a Revenge of Black Arachnia 2-pack with Optimus from the Battle Begins 2-pack in Deluxe Class Black. These are just to milk so the stores can have exclusives. These are just re-releases of figures we've already gotten.
I think what had happened is after the first movie came out, the toys sold so well that all of the major retailers were saying, I want exclusive toys. Then the first movie toys kind of trickled down, and Hasbro says, hey, we got this new series. And all the retailers said, I want exclusive toys. Well, they didn't realize that they weren't going to sell for shit. In fact, it wasn't until they canned this series and the new movie toys came out that they really started picking up again.
Mm-hmm. And the last thing, because I know Michael has a really, really awesome story for this. The last thing we're going to talk about is the McDonald's Happy Meal toys.
Yay!
Before you tell your story, in North America, we got Megatron, Optimus, Bumblebee, Ratchet, Starscream, and Lugnut. In Latin America, they got Optimus, Bumblebee, Megatron, and Starscream. In France, they got Optimus, Bumblebee, Megatron, and Blitzwing, of all people.
Cool.
And Poland got Optimus, Bumblebee, Megatron, and Starscream. And the Optimus, Bumblebee, Megatron are the same molds from the North American release, but with more detailed paint applications. Blitzwing is the only new mold out of all the Happy Meal toys. So I remember you told me this story on one ToyCast. You had heard something about animated toys being at McDonald's, and you were just going to go for one Happy Meal and...
We were at a Walmart or something, and Christy's like, we're gonna pick up lunch, we're gonna go over there to that, you know, the McDonald's, and it was a McDonald's built in a Walmart,
right?
And I'm thinking, well, that is really strange, you know. She was pregnant, she was very pregnant at the time, so I'm not going to, you know, tell her no, you know. it's like yeah honey, whatever you say. So we head over to the McDonald's, And I said, you know, what do you want? And she's like, well, I think I'm going to get a Happy Meal, and I'm going to get a Happy Meal for Aiden. And I said, all right. She goes, well, what do you want? And I said, I think I'll have a Big Mac. And she's like, no, you're getting a Happy Meal. And I said, I am? And she's like, you're getting three Happy Meals. I'm like, why? And she's like, we're getting all the toys. We're getting them all right now. And I'm like, best wife ever. I mentioned it to her in passing. Oh, you know, McDonald's has a Happy Meals with the toys, and I'll probably, you know, maybe we'll get a Happy Meal and try to pick one up, you know. But she filed that away in her, you know, steel trap of a mind, and it popped out later at the least expected moment.
Yeah, wives, we got all of them. Nothing.
Pregnant wives, no less, you know. But no, she not only remembered, but she got me all the toys that day.
Awesome.
She haggled with the lady.
Like six hamburgers or six cheeseburgers.
I think I went through like four Happy Meals or something, but it was totally worth it.
Yes. We are going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and maybe some quotes from the cartoon, stuff like that. And we're going to come back with final thoughts on the toy line.
Transformation Animation Podcast will be back after these messages.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. you'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code GeekCastRadio when you register.
You've never seen a human before.
Ew! Step on it!
I'm getting too old for this.
Ooh, that sounds crazy! Even to me!
Welcome to my throne room, Future Tales. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes, or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes.
Soundwave, jam that transmission!
Rumble Frenzy, Ravage Rat Bat, Inject, Operation Interference.
No, there will be no Operation Interference. I am TFG1 Mike, and you should be listening to my very first podcast, the TFG1 Podcast. 24 episodes covering the entire U.S. run of the 1984 Transformers cartoon. I also have a few supplemental episodes and an interview with Stan Bush. I bring in guest hosts who will be full-time co-hosts in Steve Megatron and fan of the show, now co-host, Pecan Court Michael. So check out the TFG1 Podcast. You can find it on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Transform and roll out!
Stan Bush here, and I dare you to check out Radio Free Cybertron.
This is Brian Kilby, host of Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show, and one of the world's first podcasts. First online in 1999. Yes, 1999. We've been doing this for a while. We are also the official podcast of TFormers.com, and quite frankly, we're pretty awesome. So check us out, tfradio.net.
Now back to Transformation Animation Podcast.
We are back, and Spada, final thoughts on the overall animated toy line really quick.
A lot of the figures are pretty good. There are some really outstanding figures like Voyager, Blitzwing, and Earth Mode Prime, and Deluxe Oil Slick. But for the most part, I'm sorry to say, I think most of the line is a little bit on the forgettable side. There are a lot of figures in here that I just don't care for, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have to agree. For me, I love Rodimus, I love RC, I love Blur, Purple Shockwave, Earth Mode Optimus, Elite Guard Bumblebee. Elite Guard Bumblebee was the only Bumblebee I ever owned, because after watching several, well, your video review and several others' video reviews of the regular Bumblebee, I was like, yeah, I don't want a toy with multicolored yellows. I just don't care for that. So, Michael, what are your final thoughts on the line that have been released to this point?
I want to say I was honestly excited for each and every one of the figures that came out. I mean, this is probably one of the last lines in memory that I was really, really hunting for. Like, I have to have that figure. I'm going to go at each and every, you know, Walmart, Kmart, Toys R Us in my area until I find it. You know, that being said, you know, yeah, it's a hit or miss line. Most of them are really nice. They have their flaws. But again, as far as, you know, movie accuracy, show accuracy, personality that are just built right into the mold, you know, the smirk on Starscream's face and things like that, it's a great line. It really is. And it doesn't hurt that I really like the activators, because that makes up a good quarter of the series.
So before we close the show, Spader, what do you have coming up on your YouTube channel, if anything?
Oh, that's a good question. I've got some Sentai stuff coming up, and I'm really going to be going back and doing some Brave figures. And with Thanksgiving coming up, I'll be going up to visit my folks, and a lot of my stuff is up in their basement. So I'm going to be bringing, hopefully, back a ton of Gundam figures for everybody to watch.
Nice.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us here on Transformation Animation Podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. You can also stream all of our podcasts on Stitcher. Go to stitcher.com for that. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TFA Podcast. Mine is TFG and Mike. Spada, what is your Twitter?
I am at Bolt Matrix. That's BaltMatrix.
And Michael?
Not at Burnt Toast. My Twitter account is PeconCTMichael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcast or radio network. Call the voicemail line and tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Transformation Animation Podcast and wish you'll join us next time when we will be talking about the toys they promised but we never got. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Spade of the Ball Matrix
and Michael Wilson. Long live Burnt Toast!
Saying we'll tap you again next week.